WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. This is a great day. We have a great venue today. We are not at the radio station. We're at the Lane Agricultural Center and at the Farmer's Market, actually. And we are going to have a great show. I have Brian with me this morning. I don't know why, but I've got Brian Barrett. And
because you couldn't get on the air from here if I were here. That's why.
I was trying to be nice. Not very well. This is Dairy Day. It's a very special day, especially for those who have been around here for a pretty good while, because milk was a major product in Rutherford County for many, many years. And Marvin Whitworth is sitting here with us, and he is an expert on milk. And he's shaking his head no. But he and I remember back when almost everybody had a cow, and that was one of their main source of income. Back, I guess we're talking about the 40s and the 50s, and maybe on even up into the 60s, because we all remember the big dairy farms, and they have. If some of you get by, and you need to come by today at the Ag Center, because they have some great pictures. And I don't know if I've shared those with you yet. Have you seen them, Marvin?
No, sir, I have not seen them.
Really some great pictures of some old dairy farms right here in Murfreesboro. And one of the interesting things about some of them is that the large farms, and we're talking about 80-plus acres, were within a mile of the Murfreesboro city limits, which was a very, very small area back in that time. So I remember my granddaddy, and almost all of us have family members that, and Michael Shirley just stopped by and brought True Moo milk, which is great chocolate milk, but where is the MTSU dairy milk?
Well, I'm afraid
they didn't bring it today.
We may have a mutiny. Like, people may revolt at Dairy Day because MTSU did not bring their chocolate milk.
You're a kid.
This could be the first time. I know this is the
first
time.
Where is Elena Vault?
Her son's running around, so we will find her, and we'll get to the bottom of this.
Okay. Because we've got to have the big cheese here.
all day long. He's here all day. Yeah.
and we want to talk a little bit about Michael. What are you guys doing today? And of course, Michael Shirley is here, and he's very big in dealing with the farmers and especially this type of thing that's going on.
Well, Truman, I want to thank you for coming out and broadcasting today.
Fun.
We'll supply you with all the chocolate milk you can drink till you get a tummy ache. But what today is June Dairy Day, and I still have not been able to figure out how many consecutive years we've had Dairy Day, but it goes back a long, long time. So it's one of the – I was told that it's the longest consecutive – the longest continuous event that we've had, or consecutive years of an event that we've put on. We used to have it on the square, at the courthouse square, and it outgrew there.
Yeah.
And then we moved over to Old Fort Park, and we had it there, many years, and now we're here at the Lane Agri Park. And this is a free event that's open. It's a family-friendly event. It's really just geared towards educating the public on the dairy industry, the dairy farmers, and how much they sometimes our farmers get a bad rap, and it's not fair, and it's not worth
it. They should never get a bad rap, not the farmers.
And so people can come over here and actually talk to the farmers that are milking those cows, that are producing the milk that they drink. And they can ask those farmers any questions, and the people that we have here today will answer all their questions. And if they don't know the answer, they'll find it out and get back with the people. So it's just a way that we can have the kids of Murfreesboro can come out and play games, and they can make their own butter and get free samples of ice cream and chocolate milk. They can pet the cows and the dairy goats and the dairy sheep that we have here, and it's just a real fun event.
It's going to be, and it's so laid back and so informal, and everybody's in here is just smiling and having a big time. I saw a group of kids go by and didn't get to say anything to them. I guess there's probably about 30 of them.
Right.
This is a place, you know, if you want something to do and go out and have some fun, this is a place to come.
You know, the weather is not real, real pretty outside today, but no. I tell people, the very first tweet that I sent out this morning, don't let the rain scare you away from Dairy Day.
Yeah.
Because 95% of our activities are indoors.
Yeah.
And we've got our air-conditioned building. It's spread out. It's not crowded, even though we'll have probably, between 800 and 1,300 people, depends on how the weather holds out. We'll come through today. We've got
should be more than that.
It should be. I mean, yeah. This is a great event for everyone. It's easier to get to than the zoo, and they can actually pet the animals here.
A whole lot cheaper too.
And a whole lot cheaper. We'll actually feed your kids for you. You don't even have to. I mean,
and healthy food.
That's right. So they can come over. They can play those games that we have. They can go through the Farm Bureau Women set up what's called Little Acres, mm-hmm. and the kids come through and they get to plant the seeds, and they get to
harvest the crops
and gather the eggs, milk the cow. Then they go to the market and sell all the things that they've harvested, and then they get money, and then they get to go and buy a coloring book at the end. And so they get to learn. And at each station, there's a volunteer there that's teaching them about where their food comes from. And that's really, really important. And that's something that people are really interested in right now, is where people want to know where their food comes from and how it's produced. And this is one an event where they can find out some of those answers.
It's a lost art, isn't it? And of course, I think you used to work at the Carnation Milk Plant when it opened, didn't you, Michael?
I don't know,
but he accused me of doing that.
Oh, I heard him. We had to get back at him.
That's right. You know, we've got some pictures here of the Carnation Milk Plant, and a lot of people drive by what I might call a relic of the Carnation
the
Milk
stack.
Plant. The stack downtown. Yeah. So where the bridge over Broad is going, the big smoke.
The bridge
stack
over
there.
Troubled Water.
Troubled Water. Right. there's actually a picture that I have here of when the bridge that you drive over now was being built, and that's a really cool picture. So people, when you come to Dairy Day, stop by the WGNS booth over here, the table, mm-hmm. and look at some of the pictures that we have of the dairy industry in Rutherford County from the 20s through, some of these pictures are through the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a really neat, really, really neat. But that smokestack that you drive by that's in the back of the Haynes Brother Lumber Company, mm-hmm. that smokestack is a relic of the Carnation Milk Plant that was built here in the 20s.
Yeah, there's a picture of it here, a great picture of it, actually.
This was from a postcard, actually.
Wow.
So I found these pictures over, I went to Shacklett's Photography, and I wanted to talk to them about seeing if I could get some pictures of because I love looking at old pictures, especially of Murfreesboro mm-hmm. and Rutherford County. But Miss Gloria said that she had a big collection at her house, and we're going to get that for next year. But she had taken a bunch of things over to the archives. And if people have never been to the Rutherford County Archives building, that's a stop they ought to make.
It is.
And so I went over there, and they helped me. We just typed in a few keywords to search. We typed in carnation, milk plant, dairy, cows. And these are some of the pictures that popped up. But you know, and you may have already talked about it a little bit, but when the Carnation Milk Plant was built here in Rutherford County, at the time in the 20s, that was like Nissan coming in the 80s.
Right.
I mean, it was that big of an impact.
Yeah.
And
consider the population and the income at that time, it was big time.
And the economic impact was huge. That
right.
Even through the Depression, it was less. The effects of the Depression were lessened in this area because of the Carnation Milk Plant. And I forget, there's some statistics, there's some the numbers in some of these publications that I printed off that talked about the millions of dollars in that time's money. Like it was $1 million in that money, not today's money, that was pumped into the economy here. And that's a really big deal.
It was a big deal. And if anybody's out there that they worked at the Carnation Milk Plant, there's not many left. I know that you guys called and asked me if I knew any, and I said, yeah, I knew quite a few, but they've all gone.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. And it's just like I've had the World War II veterans on my show, Bill Allen in particular, and it's so good that they're now focusing on them, because I've watched the show on PBS that Bill was one of the stars on there. He did such a great job in representing all of his group of guys. And I think that that's one of the things that we need to have recorded was the people that actually worked at the Carnation Milk Plant at that time. Because and if any of you are any of those people, we'd appreciate you calling in WGNS, and we'd love to talk to you and get some feedback from you.
I have given myself a personal challenge. I've been in charge, quote unquote, of Dairy Day for, this is my eighth one. I started back in 2007, and this is something that over the next year that I'm going to make a real focused effort. I think we're going to involve our 4-H Honor Club, which is our community service club part of 4-H. We're going to try to put together a real exhibit that we can have at Dairy Days from now on. And we really, really, we would covet those interviews with the people that have worked at the Rutherford Creamery there on,
on
Main
one.
Street,
yes.
The Carnation Milk Plant, the Red Rose Dairy, Becton Dairy, any of the, if you have any connection to any of those, please give us a call. Call WGNS and they'll take down your name and get it to me. And we'll have our kids. This is a way that our kids, again, we talk about that disconnect. These 4-H'ers will be conducting those interviews. We have a digital media club, and this focus of this upcoming school year, they're going to be learning how to make movies and documentaries.
Oh wow!
So that is our focus for this year. And so please, if you have any connection to the dairy industry in Rutherford County, please give us a call and let us know. You don't have to go on camera if you don't want to, but we would really appreciate it if you would.
So the 4-H'ers are still pretty strong, aren't they? Because that was a really strong club when I was going to school.
Mr. Marvin has a couple of grandkids that are involved in our program now, and we have more children showing livestock this year than in the past 8 years. And so things are really growing in Rutherford County 4-H. We have over 4,000 4-H members in our county.
Wow.
And we are going strong, very strong.
Now, Marvin,
yes, sir.
You've been involved in these type of things for years and years
years.
You're almost as old as I am.
Pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me about when you were a kid growing up in this area, because I remember my granddaddy very, very well milking cows, and I got my first lick in the chin from a cow. And tell me about those days a little bit as you remember them.
Well, they're a lot different than they are now.
Yes.
We were just poor farmers.
Yeah,
we milked about 20 cows by hand.
Well, that's quite a few cows back
Well, there's a whole bunch of us milking those, see.
That's why people had big families, right?
That's right.
Farm help.
All you had to do was attach those little
things. No, we didn't have those things. We were poor farmers. We had to get them by hand. And, of course, there's not a hotter job in the summer or a colder one in the winter than sitting under that old cow between two or three of them and trying to get the milk out. And, of course, we'd put it in the 10-gallon can and put that can in the cooler. And we were more advanced, I guess, than some. Some of them put them in spring water. Just set them down in the water to get them cool, and then we took them to the old creamery when we were selling, and that's where it went into cheese and butter, I think, was the only thing they made at the old creamery that I remember. But
you remember making butter at your house? I remember my grandmother doing that.
Well, now we're terrible parents and grandparents. We've made our children do that.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, I wish we'd done that.
Teach them how to do that. We've had our grandchildren do that. We're moved uptown now. We have an electric churn now. But I can remember as a kid taking a half gallon jar and bouncing it on my knee till the butter came.
Well, you can go over here and make your own butter today
in a baby food jar.
Baby food jar.
Well, now we do that at school. But Michael said something a minute ago. I'm going to digress just a little bit. Michael said something a minute ago. Well, I think one of the big things and challenges of agriculture is we've always assumed that people were going to accept what we did.
Yeah.
And politically, that's not the case anymore. We've got to connect with the people that buy
the
food.
Just don't mention politics today.
Well, I didn't want to talk politics.
It makes my blood pressure go up about 20 points.
Give him some chocolate milk.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing that is absolutely sure, Truman, if you don't grow your own food, somebody else is going to have to grow it for you.
Yes.
And so that's an absolute. So you need to connect with the people that's growing your food and realize, and I've had kindergarten kids and first grade kids and so forth tell me on this Little Acres deal that food milk didn't come from a cow. It came from Kroger's. That you know, we just assume that we can always go to Kroger's, Publix, or wherever else we want to go to get our food, and it's going to be there.
Right.
But in order for it to be there, somebody has got to grow it. And somebody's got to go out twice a day and milk that cow. Because once the milk processing or her producing starts, she produces milk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there's no, she don't know this Christmas or 4th of July
Sunday. You've never drank milk unless you've had wild onions in it. It just gives it a better taste. I don't know
well,
what
that's
it
true.
Is.
Well, we tried to put them in a. We didn't drink out of that. Yeah. Ones that had the wild onions. But yes,
oh,
we
come on, Marvin.
Yes, we drank. We drank the raw, unprocessed milk. As yeah. Did. That's what we did.
You know, we felt good back then, and I know, Mom, we would have gardens from year to year, and there's something about having your own food that you have grown, and it gives you a sense of achievement, but it also makes you feel better because I always felt like from summer all the way into winter, that's when I felt the best because we were eating that pure food right out of the garden.
I think it's what Green Giant that has the advertisement that says that the product is never better than it is right when it's picked off the plant, and so that's very true. You pick that corn out of the garden this morning right now and take it in the house and roast it on the stove. Whatever you do to it don't get better.
No, it doesn't.
It's a tomato you pick off the plant and take a little salt shaker and just eat it right off the plant. Mm-hmm. That's the best there is. It does not get better than that. But
you and I are old enough to remember when milk was king in Rutherford County. And the state of Tennessee was
big in milk. And one of the things that made milk so popular was, of course, everybody had their own milk cow. And the Carnations and the old creameries, and I see a Becton picture under here that bought and processed milk. Primarily, that was milk that was surplus from what they needed, many of them from their cows. But the big factor is that they got paid twice a month.
Yes.
And farming, you don't sell but one calf a year, and corn don't come in but every fall, and wheat in the spring, and you don't have a regular income. But when you had that milk cow producing a little, about two or three milk cows, you got a check every month, two checks a month. And it may not be very big, but you'd still go down to the grocery store and buy some groceries or get a pair of shoes or whatever else you needed, pay the taxes or whatever else had to be paid, because you had a regular income coming in off that cow.
We remember how happy family life was and how great it was back there with the neighbors.
Yes.
Because everything was simple. There was no stress anywhere. And we didn't have a whole lot. I mean, in today's standards, we would be, all of us would be poor.
But everybody was the same poor.
Yeah.
And nobody had any more or any less than anybody else. And we'd take a day off every once in a while and go over to somebody's field and play baseball or and might go swimming or go fishing or whatever on Saturday afternoon. But there never was any. One thing I never said to my parents was I was bored.
I knew better
than to tell my mom I was bored.
My son doesn't ever tell me that either anymore.
We were never bored.
I don't have time to be bored.
No. And you had chores, and then you had all kinds of games and sports that you made up yourself.
Right. We knew how to go out and make our own fun. And my grandchildren, and I told my mama this after I got grown, and I was smart enough not to tell her when I was a kid. But the old Alabama song where it says, "We climb a old long tall hickory, bend it over, skinning cats."
Alabama.
The music group Alabama that talks about.
It's not in my dictionary, Alabama.
Oh, well, okay. You got the right color shirt on.
Yeah.
But anyway, that musical group has sung that song. It says, "Let's climb a long, tall hickory bend."
Yes.
You ever skinned any cats?
Yes.
Yes. But I didn't tell my mama that till I was married and had kids. We'd go out and we'd do things and just go out and be in the woods or whatever.
Yeah, and we walked all the creek beds back then.
Yes. Might even take a fishing pole with us.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Who have we got over here, Michael?
Well, this is the lady that will have the answer to your questions about MTSU chocolate milk. This is Miss Liz Troop, and she is the...
All right, who blew it this morning?
I did. I'm sorry. Wait
a minute. We're not getting her sound here. Move it up there closer to you. We may have to find Brian Barrett.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to let you use my headset because my mic's working. So.
That's the fun part about radio, isn't it?
It's live radio.
That's right. Hey, Liz, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, great. I can hear you now.
No, that's better. I can hear you, too.
Yeah, so whose fault was it that we did not get the chocolate milk from the MTSU dairy farm?
Well, I guess I could put it this way. There's a lot of camps going on campus.
Uh-oh.
And there's a lot of kids, the high school kids, grade mm-hmm. school kids, and they are, I'd have to say they're guzzling chocolate milk down. We took
smart kids.
Yes, we took 10 crates of five-gallon crates already this week, and I just checked with her because I was afraid to bring any today, and she said she was going to have to come get some more.
Uh-oh,
and then another 10 on Monday. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot going on campus, and it's you know, a lot of the camps, Governor School, cheerleading, the STEM, the which is the like science, math, engineering camps are going on. They've been touring the farms. Coming, I've got a group coming to the milk plant on Thursday.
I think I talked to Elena before, and it's amazing how much participation there is right now in the dairy industry. Especially when you're talking about science being involved in what's going on, isn't it? And also, not just the dairy, but all across the board.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, I'm a biology major. I minored in chemistry, and then I picked up an ag minor as well. And I have used every bit of that. Mm-hmm. And, I talk to the students all the time. You know, biology is about life.
Right.
And ag is just like a finite biology. Mm-hmm. And we use math and we use science in the dairy industry because you're always watching, you know, keeping tabs on your bacteria mm-hmm. and your sanitation, because that's a huge thing. And
why is that so important now? Just like when Marvin and I were growing up, everything was so simple because we didn't worry about those things. Were we wrong in not worrying, or have things changed so much in our environment and everything that goes on with it?
I think, you know, we just didn't know.
Yeah.
We didn't know so much. Milk has been the most regulated food source that there is.
Also one that hasn't changed in cost over all the years. It's very similar, especially you go with what people are making now. It's actually cheaper.
Right. And it's a staple. You know, mm-hmm. even when the economy was down back a few years ago, the food industry was still doing great. Well, mm-hmm. I would say great. They were doing good. Mm-hmm. And they were hiring our students because they needed them. And our students, the nice thing about our students is that they've been working in the milk plant. You know, we start at 6 in the morning mm-hmm. and finish at 6 in the evening. We have a little lunch.
Well, some things haven't changed.
Yeah. And that's the milk plant. And, of course, on the dairy, you know, they milk 4 o'clock in the afternoon. No, say 4 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And so the students are putting in a long day, and they're developing some great work ethic.
People who aren't familiar with the milk industry, is it a requirement that you have to milk twice a day?
Well, no. That
you can milk three.
Yeah, that's right. And they do on the larger herds. They run them through.
Really, three?
Three.
I have never known that, Mark.
Well, now, the plant, and I hate to advertise, but the Heritage Farms over here gets a lot of their milk from Fair Oak Dairy mm-hmm. up in northern Indiana. And they milk 30,000 cows.
Wow.
It's kind of a cooperative group that own all these cows. I think it's 10 farmers that got together, three
people. Good enough.
And they milk three times a day. Milk a 42-cow carousel.
They have the carousel.
They got the carousel where the cow walks on, and the cow stands still, and it circles around, and she gets off on the other side. It's a merry-go-round. She rides that thing around. But that's the Ruan trucks you see coming mm-hmm. into Ruan, coming into Heritage Farms. That's coming out of Fair Oaks Dairy. And they milk three times a day. And they have 3 8-hour shifts, just like Nissan and anybody else. Then they come in and milk those cows, and they get off and go home. And then another group comes in and starts bringing another group of cows through. Well, the milk processing in the cow is a continuous process, mm-hmm. and the more you take it out,
the more she produces.
The more she produces. If mm-hmm. When she gets full, she quits until you take it out. So heavy producers, if you leave it in there, and she'll shut off.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't milk her but once a day, which you could, but when she gets full, her udder's full, she quits producing.
Does that affect the milk, the quality of the milk?
No, probably not.
No, I don't think so.
It wouldn't affect the quality of it, but it would affect the amount of it.
Yeah. Hmm. And, of course, the udders are full, and so they're usually coming up to that gate wanting to be milked.
Right.
You know, it's a relief for them.
Is this mic working now?
Yes, it might work.
All right. So I went up to Fair Oaks once on a tour, and I asked the guy that was, or the lady that was giving us the tour, if the cows ever stay on the merry-go-round more than once.
She said the most they had watched it go around was 7 times. I was like, well, I guess she doesn't have anything else to do. But that's a really neat operation to take a look at.
Do we have anything like that around here or in Tennessee?
There is a new dairy going in Rover, and they're going to have a carousel. And they'll milk 24 hours a day. So they'll have someone there milking all the time.
And they're going to 1,000, is that right?
I think that's what I've heard.
800 to 1,000?
That's what I've heard. I'm not as familiar with them because they're not in our county. Mm-hmm. But that's the last reports I had, that was the case. We have, not counting MTSU, we have 4 dairy farmers left in Rutherford County. When I started, we had 12. And it just keeps going down. And
there's probably 1,000 back when Heritage Farms was going on.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Dairy Farm Day.
Cars.com has all the tools you need to get into the dealership feeling prepared so your car shopping experience will be stress-free. Research, price, find. Only Cars.com helps you find the right car without all the drama. Cars.com, all drive, no drama.
You can get non-medical care at home for you and your loved one. Just visit athomecaretn.com.
My name is Cheryl Bradley, and I've been with At Home Care for 4 years. I'm the Director of Care Coordination. And one of the things that we do here at Home Care is we take the time to get to know our clients and match them with one of our home care aides. And we have 120-plus home care aides, so we try to make sure the personalities and the type of services are matched properly.
Here's Melissa Warren with At Home Care.
The one thing that I think really sets At Home Care apart is that we understand we may not be the answer for everyone that phones us, but our goal is to help everyone that phones us, give them direction, give them information, maybe lead them to where they do need to call to get the help they need.
That's athomecaretn.com.
Get out of the house. Turn off the computers, the cell phones, and video games. It's time to create some family memories with your mom, dad, your children, or your spouse. Or maybe just spend some quality time with your friends. I'm Randy Boland from Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane. Me and my staff treat people the way we would like to be treated when shopping for fishing, hunting, or shooting supplies. Murfreesboro Outdoors, open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 6 on Northwest Broad Street. I'm Randy Boland. Now, turn off the computers and go hunting or fishing.
You don't have hot dogs or apple pie or no Chevrolet to drive, but we have some hickory smoked wings you're just dying to try. You'll try them, you'll like them, you'll give some to a friend. So on a dare, just stop on by and bring in a friend. Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
We'll see a few scattered showers and storms here this afternoon with mostly cloudy skies, a high into the lower 80s, and we'll have winds out of the southwest of 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vujitsky. Right now, 70.
Premier 6 Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go see a movie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go see a movie.com. Premier 6 on Broad and Jackson Heights.
Shop directly from your farmer at the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Open each Tuesday and Friday from 7 a.m. until noon at the Lane Agri Park on John R. Rice Boulevard.
It's strawberry time in Tennessee, and boy, do we have them at the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Come load up on berries, healthy greens, decadent sweets, locally raised meats, and so much more. Get one-on-one service from Middle Tennessee farmers and run into some old friends.
The Rutherford County Farmers Market, Tuesdays and Fridays at the Lane Agri Park, down from Sam's.
Jim Tracy.
The first thing a new congressman does is put his hand on the Bible and take an oath. Too many forget their oath the instant they remove their hand. That's why our government is bankrupt. It can't pay its bills, and it won't keep its word. I'm Jim Tracy. I'm running for Congress to change that. Integrity is not just the main thing, it's the only thing. I'm Jim Tracy, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tracy for Congress.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back to the Dairy Day. And here we are over at the Lane Agriculture Center having a great time. Some more people are coming in, and we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Metal Max Roofing and Siding, located at 900 Captain Joe Fulgham Drive, just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Steel is a unique material that can be recycled, conserving energy and natural resources. Steel is also an excellent cost-effective alternative to asphalt shingle roofs. Metal roofs are not only beautiful, resistant to wind damage, roof rust, but some are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing, so you can buy your roofing and siding material straight from the manufacturer without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max roofing and siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693, 494-1693. Pull them up on the website, www.metalmaxllc.com. Now, you're listening to John L. Beatty right now, who is jumping
Good
ship
morning.
On me a little bit. Hey, John L.
How you doing, Truman?
Good. And across the street, across the table is a beautiful young lady. We're talking about Marie Leathers.
Williams.
I still remember you as Marie Leathers. That's all I'll ever remember you. You were one of the prettiest girls ever was in Central High School. I can tell you that.
I stepped to the right place, didn't I?
And everybody in Rutherford County knew your dad, just like everybody in Rutherford County knew John L. Beatty's family folks for many, many years. I think, 200-something years at the same farm? I think it's something like that.
Right.
But your dad, Marie, was a person who loved the land and loved the farm, didn't he?
He did.
There was just something about him. And were you much into the dairy business? I can't remember.
Yes, myself. Uh-huh. Now, my dad had barns, but he didn't milk during my lifetime. But he did way back in his early childhood.
Uh-huh.
And then I had go into it, my husband and I, Arnold Williams.
Right, Arnold Well.
And so we milked almost 20 years in Grade A Dairy.
What is that? What happened?
I think we got cut off.
What happened, Brian?
The microphone's picking up everything.
Keep talking. No,
I can't hear anything.
I couldn't hear.
Ah, such is life. And of course, it's most of your land is out in the Rockville area.
Well, it's really Salem on Overall Creek. We call it Overall Creek Farms.
Uh-huh. And I think I've been all over your farm at one time or another. And there's one old saying that you told me about one time, and I asked you if it was true because I think everybody in Rutherford County has heard that particular statement that your dad made. And it was something similar to, I don't want to own all the land in Rutherford County. I just want to own all of that adjoins it. Is that correct? Did he actually make that statement?
The land next to me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he did.
He pretty much did. I mean, everything out there. And if you go out and look, you girls have still got most of that land, don't you?
No.
You don't?
I'm the only one that's still got the land.
So you still take after your dad, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
She moved farther out from town to get it, to hold on to it, though.
I live on the home place, the house I was born in.
Uh-huh. That's on Windrow Road.
I can't eat that.
Yeah, it's gorgeous out that way. But
sits right on the creek.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about getting away from the land? You haven't, had?
Never. As long as I live.
There's something special about being on a farm, isn't it?
To me, but my sisters didn't feel that way.
Let's see, you had three sisters, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, they have sold some of it off. But I've noticed that some of the streets that go into that land, the ones that you sold off that have been that are now homes and things like that. You see the streets named after your family, which I
my
think
my dad, Walter Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's pretty neat. And how, do you know how long that land's been in your family?
Yes. My dad bought the farm where I live in 1924.
Uh-huh.
So I'm planning on being a centennial farm in a few years.
I think that's pretty neat.
10 years from now.
Yeah. John L.'s got you beat.
I was been in our family. We're fortunate since 1807, 207 years.
That's amazing.
And it is. You stop and look back at it. But I milked myself for 27 years.
By hand?
By hands. When we got electric milkers. Milkers came from after Bascom Williamson built a dairy barn in 58 or so. We got his old milkers and got poured concrete and started milking with electric milkers, and that was a big step up.
You've just gone right along with the changes, haven't you?
You got to go with the changes. If not, we would still be left behind with mules.
Yeah,
we still had mules.
Do you still?
I can remember the mules.
Do y'all still have that love for farming? I mean, you can't stay in farming unless you really are drawn to it.
You got to love it.
You can't be successful with it without that.
No, you got to love it and appreciate it, and you're all depending on the weather and God above as to what you get, whether it's a drought that we're getting a lot of rain, which is unusual right now in June, which is great.
There's Ken and Rachel Huggins coming in with her fam.
and we found out in the draft years you cannot do it without rain.
That's right.
You've got to have rain. So
you're blessed right now.
I'm blessed now, and that's why I'm here with grandkids today, showing the cows. They've already been milking the goat and whatever else is around here running around.
Well, I know just to have a farm like you guys have and been there all your lives, I think of a lot of times Bubba Horde got the old Horde farm, and I know the love of the land that he had, and I know Tommy does too, but there's just something about being on a farm. You have your own world. You don't have to bring everything else in there because it's all out there with you. You live it every day.
Both my sons live on the farm. One lives across the creek, and he raised five kids there. And two of them have already built houses on the land.
Uh-huh.
So, and they have children. So we have four generations living there on the farm.
And knowing you, you're expecting them to have even more generations being
right there on that
farm.
Right there. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
You got to love and enjoy it. And looking at this milk and thinking about Dairy Day, years ago, Farm Bureau was in charge of Dairy Day, and we put it on every year. We opened up when Rose's opened? And we had chalk-free milk from Murfreesboro Pure Milk Company and had a milking contest over that. I remember 1 year we had a milking contest between Ben Hall McFarland.
The older Ben Hall McFarland.
Senior. And Al Gore. And
was that when the Senate race was going on?
The Senate race was going on, and Miss King. Miss Huey King.
Yeah.
Milking somebody else because nobody beat Ben Hall because Ben Hall had been dairyman all his life. There's a trick to it.
Yeah.
I started milking at 10 because we had a family cow, and my mother happened to have lost one of her fingers in a lawnmower. So I took over the milking at 10 years old, and I've loved milking, and that's the reason I wanted to get back into the dairy.
Did your daddy instill the love of the farm in you.
I guess so. I followed him everywhere. He had no boy, so I became the boy, I guess.
You were since, daddy's girl.
Since you were the oldest, and that's where you, just if you're the oldest, you follow more.
Uh-huh.
And somebody, you need somebody in the truck or tractor just to get out and open the gates for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you he put me on the tractor driving at 10 years old, so I disc and raked hay at very young. About 12 years old, I was doing all that.
That's amazing.
I filled planters. I got in hay, bales of hay. That was my summer job, helping with the hay.
That was a good life.
Hey, you got another younger.
I never
younger,
complained.
A nugget.
Jennifer.
Younger Jennifer.
Jennifer Rachel Holbrook.
Yes, sir.
And know your, I guess your granddad. Yeah.
Yes, sir, Jack Holbrook.
Yes. Now, tell me, what is your allegiance to the farm industry?
Well, I'm a fourth generation dairy farmer.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather's father started raising registered Jersey cows, and that was in the New Middleton area.
Yeah, I was going to say Milton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At New Middleton.
New Middleton. Oh,
up
okay.
Towards Carthage and Gordonsville.
Oh, all right.
That's where his family's from, and they farmed for years and years. And then in 1961, he moved here to Rutherford County and worked with a fella, and that fella kind of took him under his wing, and then bought out half the farm, and then ended up buying out the whole farm. Mm-hmm. And my dad was born in 1960, so right in there when my dad was born and my uncles were being born. That's when Holbrook Farms came to be.
So you're in the business of farming.
Yes, sir. I like to think I am. I'm a part-time student, full-time farmer. It's never part-time. Mm-hmm.
I am so glad that there's people like you that are taking up farming. Of course, you've been in it all your life. It's come natural to you. But I think it's something that we need more of. And I don't think there's any industry I have more respect for than the farming industry. And I'm so glad that you guys are so much more educated into farming than they were, say, when I was growing up and things like that. I know John L. is lucky to have a son-in-law, Brandon, who is a whole lot smarter than he is. And they've been able to really take off since Brandon's been in the family.
That's right. You need new technology and somebody to support and boost you. Just like Jennifer there, helping buy.
I can tell she's bright.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're sending me to Tennessee Tech. I'm an ag business management major.
An ag business major?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Oh. So you're not, I figured you were going over here to MTSU
no,
with
sir.
A dairy farm.
No.
Hey, MTSU's got his
You're a trader, Jennifer.
My sister went to MTSU, and it's just a little bit too big for me. I enjoy Tennessee Tech. It's just far enough away from home, but just close enough, too.
Yeah, is a good school.
My son graduated from Tennessee Tech, too.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. He got his BS and MS both at Tech.
Now, what would that all entail, your studies, as they relate to the farm industry?
Well, ag business, with any ag major, you've got to do your horticulture, you've got to do plant science, soil science, you've got to do ag engineering, you've got to do all your animal science classes. So you get kind of a broad education about anything and everything in the ag industry. And then you go into your major classes, which is more along the lines of ag economics and the markets, and then the best way to go about managing not just farms, but I mean the whole commodities market as a whole.
So when you go through school, you're not only learning how to produce more, but the safety of the food is a main priority now, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I used to think, you know, when we were growing up, you just grew it and put it away and ate it as it came, and there was never a second thought into what you may be doing that would be. I can't remember. Did we use DDT back then?
Yes.
So, and found out later, you know, that there was a harmful substance in
right.
it. So you're taking a lot of those things out of it now as you learn and as you grow. In the future, we're looking at more food, and mm-hmm. we're looking at better food. Is that right?
Yes, you're looking at higher yields with less property, less effort put into it, like no-till, for example. I mean, you can drill straight into the ground. You don't have to use that extra diesel, that extra manpower, and that extra equipment when you can just till straight, when you can plant straight into the ground and it grow. And, you know, Roundup Ready has really cut out a bunch and produced outrageous yields, even in this part of the country.
Did you go through the FFA programs in school?
Yes, sir. I went through at Oakland High School.
How in-depth are they now? Of course, you can't compare it to what everybody went through when I was a kid. But is it more scientific now?
Well, it's nothing like what my daddy went through, which, according to him, was you got together and hung out and basically played with equipment and cattle and whatnot. Now it's geared a lot towards animal science. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just the science behind raising and producing animals. A lot of it, especially Oakland where I went, is small animal. Small animal science is absolutely huge because everybody wants to be a vet. And people, one reason I did not go into veterinary field is because people will pay $3,000 to get Fluffy fixed, but they won't pay $300 to get Bessie the cow fixed.
That's what all the vets are telling me around here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have your mechanics portion of it and, you know, the trailers, and they get to work with all kinds of hands-on in the shop, mm-hmm. and then you have the animal portion of it. So it's kind of done off into two, but eventually comes back together.
Have you thought about going to vet school and utilize that just basically for your farming as you go along?
To be honest, I don't want to be in school that long. I would rather be
things never change, do they?
I'd rather be in the milk parlor or on a tractor than I would in the classroom, honestly.
Well, I don't blame you for that.
But the pre-vet and majors, even at MTSU, got to go through animal mm-hmm. and work them, and they work them out at the experiment out at the dairy farm in there. We've got you got a freshman over here that's just come in here.
We talked a little bit about animal science and things like that. One of the things that 4-H has just done, we just finished our second one, is our animal science day camp. And it is geared for middle school students that are about to enter high school. Mm-hmm. In high school now, all of our students have to pick a pathway. Okay. And it's what they're going to study. One of the pathways is agriculture. You can either do horticulture, greenhouse management, animal science, pre-vet. Those are some of the different pathways in ag. One of the needs assessments that we did a couple of years ago, our ag teachers were saying students were coming in choosing pre-vet pathway, but they had zero experience with large animals. They had never even touched a goat before. And when you go to vet school, my wife's a vet. When you go to vet school, you don't get to choose, I'm just going to do dogs, or I'm just going to do dogs and cats, or just horses or livestock. You have to learn it all. So what we've done, we've had our animal science day camp, and it's during spring break. The kids come in and it's geared for 8th graders first, then 9th graders and 7th graders, so that middle school, freshman year of high school. Both of these gentlemen that are sitting down at the table, this is Jonathan and Thomas Mingle, and they are
brothers,
graduates. They are twins, and they both have graduated from our animal science day camp. So they got some hands-on experience. They can tell you a little bit about that. They are both in the 4-H dairy project, so they raise and show dairy cows, and you can go over in our livestock barn. Families can come and visit and pet some of the cows belong to these gentlemen right here. So I'll let you talk to them.
Jonathan?
I'm right here.
You're Jonathan and Thomas.
Yes,
so you're twins. Is this kind of like when you grow up, say like cubs from a mama bear, one of you is getting more food than the other?
Kind of.
I think they were involved. They were in our 4-H program for at least 3 years before I found out that they were twins. They are not identical twins. So
obviously,
yes, obviously. So the people on the radio can't see that.
Yeah,
but they are twins in that they're both very smart and they're very good and they have a passion for dairy cows.
Now you're a freshman at Siegel High School, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what is your favorite dairy cow?
Brown Swiss.
Brown Swiss. Oh my goodness, there's a big change around here.
I like them all.
You like them all? Well,
we are Brown Swiss.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what we show, and
okay.
I've gotten a hang of how they work and everything.
That's pretty neat. So what is your love of the dairy products? I mean, why are you centered into that?
Just being in the barn gets that feeling that you want to be there all the time.
Yeah, barns have a way of doing me that way, too. So when you, what is it that draws you there? I mean, there's always something that everybody has a unique feeling for. And you guys, since you're focused in the dairy and things like that, are you going to be, and I guess this is the question for both of you, do you guys want to be in the farming business, or do you want to be kind of focus away maybe being in the veterinarian business?
The farming business.
Farming business.
I kind of want to do both, like animal science, but kind of like large animal veterinarian, and then kind of have like a dairy farm, beef farm on the side.
It seems like that a lot of farmers now are searching for veterinarians who want to deal with the larger animals. We're talking about the horses and the cows and things like that. Is that one of the things that you're looking at, you're focusing that maybe provide that product? Because I know that a lot of the ones that I've dealt with over the years, they have gone basically to the smaller animals, the dogs and cats and things like that.
Yeah, kind of just want to focus on large animals because I like fooling with cows. Not many people kind of see them as like intimidating kind of, I guess you could say.
Now you know you're gonna have to go out every once in a while, and you got a rogue bull out there, bull cow that he doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anybody around him.
No, but yeah.
It's a safety issue too that you have to work with, and I think after going out on large animal practices and all in veterinarians, so many of us see so many women in them now because they're small animals.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to mention any names of any of the vets around here, but when you go out, it's a lot easier to get the small animals in now than it used to be because they're not out on the farms and dealing with some of the problems that are going on with the larger animals.
Right.
And they don't have to travel places, so that saves them money on gas and everything.
Yeah, it does. But what did you like to you guys are going to be dealing with the larger animals, the cows and stuff. Are you in the horse business also?
We have beef cows. I have two of my own cow, and she just had her calf that I bought at the Wilson County fall sale or something. And but we lease our dairy cows from John Bayless in Ardmore, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And we just lease them. So if we don't like them, then we can like take them back or swap for other cows, or
I've never heard of that before.
Well,
farming's changed
tremendously.
So when you lease the cow, of course you're having to feed it and everything else.
Yes, sir.
At time. And you're saying when you lease it, you can return that cow back anytime you want to.
Mm-hmm. And
what is the business reason for leasing the cow?
It's not fully ours, so like when he can keep the cow and like keep it in his milking herd, mm-hmm. so he can keep milking and everything, and then he breeds them, and we can go pick out a new calf every year, and or however many he has that are available that are registered to show, because you can only show registered ones in junior shows and in the open shows. Well, no. Yeah, something like that.
Do you ever receive ownership of the cow?
He gives you a chance. If you want it, you can buy it. But he'd rather have the animal than sell it to you. But if you buy it from him, he keeps it on his property, but it's still yours.
If you don't have like a place you can put it, or like he goes back and look at the paperwork to see if it will be like a good cow or whatever, and he just kind of goes from there.
Wow, I'm having a hard time finding the business sense around. What happens if the cow or if the animal dies while it's on your farm? do you have any liability with that?
We haven't had any experience with that. Hopefully we don't. Yeah. But
they're retaining the animal for breeding rights, and selecting the bulls to get the right heifers and all out, and somebody's taking care of it. They're taking care of it, milking it, and leasing it. That's where they can take it back, select another animal if they want to, and he can get his genetics up.
They said that they did not receive ownership of any of those.
Right, unless they want to purchase one, buy it. But he's got enough cows scattered out that he's getting calves and reproduction off of them.
Yeah, farming is performing more.
Yes.
Complicated.
Yeah, he likes juniors taking care of them because when they're around him, they are a little bit calmer and they're a little bit nicer. So he has some kids and they can just go out there and pet on them and they don't have to worry too much about them going.
Guys, this has been a lot of fun. I'm going to have to tell everybody how this show got on the airway. And it is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. 7 out of 10 Americans suffer a hearing loss after the age of 50. Now there is a way to restore your hearing, and you need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed-up feelings for almost 2 decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family so you can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home, diagnose, and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. That's 848-9265. You know, you got here right on the very end, Brandon.
Absolutely. I'm always on the tail end of good things.
Brandon Witt, our National Farmer of the Year.
Absolutely. Just here for a good glass of cold chocolate milk this morning.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but the chocolate milk from the dairy, MTSU Dairy Farm, did not make it today.
Oh.
But we do have Murfreesboro Pure Milk, brought us some True Moo chocolate milk. So
the chocolate cows didn't get up this morning. Only the white cows got up.
Yes.
Oh. Well, I'm quite disappointed. Hey, I appreciate you coming up here. And
how's the new tractor?
New tractor's good.
Is it working fine?
Yeah.
What was it again?
All technical issues. Working out new technology problems.
So yeah.
We got all that worked out, and it's out there driving itself in the field right now.
When it gets 100 degrees today, you just put the computer thing on it and just let it go.
Absolutely. Just listen to the radio.
It drives itself.
We've got it made.
Oh, you lucky dog.
I've been cooking breakfast this morning. I just got here, been cooking breakfast for the International Folk Dancers. We had hosted out at the Community Club this morning.
Good for you.
We had bacon and sausage and all kinds of good things. We had about 70 folks from Hungary, Czech Republic, and Mexico this morning. So I tell you, they put on a show this morning at the Community Club, and if you've got time, you need to go out Saturday morning to the square.
Oh, yeah.
That starts at 8:30, and that is some fantastic music and dancing.
Maybe they can come over and visit Dairy Day today.
Hey, I wish they
could.
Well,
we put a plug in for them. They were right down the road. I said, you need to go by and witness some local agriculture here at Dairy Day. So they were going to try to come by if their schedule would permit.
I bet that's
permit.
A special treat.
Truman,
absolutely.
I hear the music.
Yeah, I hear the music. We're
time to go.
We're sailing on out.
Can you come back next year and broadcast?
I'd love to. It's fun.
We're going
to
have this exhibit together.
All right. We'll put it
out there on the radio. Now I've got accountability all over Rutherford County.
And everybody come out to the Lane Ag Center today. It's going to be a special day.
This is Clark Howard, and I'll take your calls middays on WGNS, consumer questions, money concerns, and more.
Weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS.